want to continue to talk about the marvelous and the most powerful benefits from seeking God. Now, I'm just calling it tonight the first pursuit. Because you have to make it your first pursuit. The Lord won't take your second. Didn't you love the way Robert explained that? How God could not accept seconds? He has to be the first. And so he can only accept, really, I guess, our pursuit if he is truly the first pursuit. I want to talk to you about in a little different way tonight. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 7, it says, while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. Talking about pouring it over Jesus' head. We all remember what happened as Jesus was sitting there and a woman brought this very costly ointment, perfume, and came in and poured it on Jesus. And then immediately the disciples were indignant when they saw this. What they said, what a waste. What a waste. Taking this expensive perfume and just pouring it on Jesus' physical body. What a waste. But I want to tell you what, if you're going to seek God, you're going to have to determine, you're going to have to live a life that the world is going to consider what a waste. You understand what I'm telling you? You're going to have to consider a different type of life. And the world is going to say, what a waste. I mean, some of you have it for even going to church. They say, what a waste. What a waste of time. But especially you that pursue God and you reach toward God, that's just what the world says. It's what a waste. Now, what it is, you got to have an answer in your heart. Because Jesus immediately had an answer in defense of this action. Because this act, what the world calls a waste, was heaven's treasure. And you got to know that where God asked you to possibly waste your life on him, I said, what do you get out of spending all those hours in prayer? What do you get out of reading the Bible like that? What do you get out of studying? See, the world is going to consider it waste. And you've just got to know that what this world calls a waste, you call a treasure before God. Amen. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, wherever this good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered. You know, we will still be talking about this woman in heaven. We'll still be talking about this woman's waste of her life in heaven. And all of these thousands of years later, you know, those people that said, I probably said, you know, I've got to go make some money. Or I've got to go do this. I got to do that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for Bible study. I don't have time for prayer. And we don't know what their names are. We don't know anything about those people. But this little woman is still remembered because she wasted her life as far as the worldly standard. But she was treasuring it up in heaven. So if you're going to pursue God, you've just got to know that far as the world, it's not going to make a bit of sense in your pursuit of the Lord. Because you really pursue God in two ways. The Bible said with all of your heart and with all of your soul or with all of your mind. So if you're going to pursue God, that means if you're on a pursuit of God, you have a fixed heart. You say, I'm going to fix my heart on Jesus. I'm going to fix my emotions. You can't fix it on hurt. You can't fix it on pity. You can't fix it on things. You got to fix it on you. If you're going to move into an arena of seeking God, you've got to have a fixed heart on God. And you've just got to say, you know, I'm going to fixate my heart on Jesus. I'm not going to let these problems get me down. I'm just not going to let this people get me down. I'm going to seek the Lord. And then you have to fix your mind the same way. Some people call seeking God and they just kind of do a praise song every now and then and they do a little dance, a little jig. But if you don't fix your heart and fix your mind, because the way you seek God, you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. That's the way you seek God. You fix, which will involve possibly praise and worship, which will involve those things. But it's not those things. It's not just putting on a praise song and jumping up and saying, hallelujah, and saying, I'm seeking God. It's the person that may be the person right there that's sitting quietly in their seat, that's fixed their heart and their mind on Jesus. And in the worship time of the Lord, maybe a little tear come trickling out their cheek as they just sit there and say, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. That's what you call worship. And that's what you call seeking God. So it's not all of these things out here. It's a person that's fixed their heart. They fix their emotions. They put their innermost part of their self toward the Lord. And there are seasons that you do that more than the other seasons. Now, there's two real important times that you seek God. One is much more important than the other. One, you seek God out of desire. You just desire God. I mean, that's the great way to seek God. Amen. I mean, if you sense a desire, if God is creating, see, God, it's the time that God is drawing us is the time we seek Him. Amen. You're going to find out the longer you live in the Lord, the less you have to do with any of it. And you're going to find that really the motivation to seek God comes from God Himself. He's doing the drawing. He's doing the pulling. It's a time that He has chosen. And it's really not a time you have chosen. I'm going to show you a time you've chosen in just a minute. If you're sensing God wanting you to be closer to Him, that's God. That's His drawing you. He has chosen this time. You can't say, well, wait, I'll do it 6 months from now. It won't happen like that. 6 months from now, you cannot drum up a desire. God is the one that creates that desire in you to pursue Him. And so you've got to know, Lord, when I hear You calling, I'm going to come. Lord, when I feel You moving in my heart, I'm going to come towards You. I'm going to fix my heart. I'm not going to let my heart be fixed on all the holidays. I'm not going to let my heart be fixed on family difficulties. I'm not going to let my heart be... I'm going to fix my heart on You because I feel You drawing me to You. Amen. So that's the greatest way. And if you will follow your desires that God puts in your heart, you will never come up short. God will always have you ready and ready to go. Whatever the situation demands, you will find God already has you prepared. If you're allowing the Holy Spirit to take the leadership in your life, if you're allowing God to move your life, and if you're, everybody say, moved by the Spirit. If you're moved by the Spirit, you're allowing God to lead you. See, you're not in directional life. You're not trying to get God to help you. My, if you are, you're living a miserable life. You've already given your life to God. Hook, line, and sinker. Nothing you have belongs to you anymore. You may be still trying to reign over it, but if you've given it to Jesus, if you've said to Him, Lord, He's the boss. He calls the shots in your life, and He is the one that's have the direction in your life. And He is the one. You should never allow anything or anybody in your life without prayer. And you should not allow a new, even a new hobby, a new sport, or anything before prayer. Because God calls the shots in your life. You've got to let the Lord be the total director of your life. Amen. All right, desiring God. So you're either going to move from desiring God, or you're going to move from desperately needing God. The problem is most of us have came to God when we desperately needed Him. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard not to focus on the storm. Because you're only going to get close to God by focusing on God. You're not going to get close to God by focusing on your storm. And so it's hard to get close to God. Or it's hard not to focus on a storm when you're in a storm. You know, if you will let God lead your life, you won't always be living life on credit. You understand what I'm saying, telling you? People live their life on credit. What they mean is they're always playing catch up. They're always storm after storm after storm after storm after storm. They never get ahead of the storms. If you will let God will get you ahead of the storm. And when the storm hits, you're already buttoned down, tied up, windows braced, and everything ready for it. God will have you ready. And the storm won't even seem like a storm to you. Because God will have you prepared for it. You understand what I'm telling you? But most people live life on credit. They're always playing catch up. I seek God when I'm desperately in need. Then when I'm not desperately in need, I kind of do what I want to. But that's a lousy way to live life. That's a lousy way to do life. What you want to do, now if you're in a storm, desperately seek Him, because God hears. He said, cry or call out to me. It says in Jeremiah 33, He says, call out to me and I'll answer you. And He said, I'll show you some great and mighty things that you've never even known of. So God loves us. He loves us enough to come to us when the wolf is at the door. But His plan for us is not to live life like that. God's plan for us is to be ready for the wolf. Already prepared. Shotgun loaded. Right? Amen. Both barrels cocked and ready. And that's the way the Lord will help us do that. Praise God. Amen. All right. So the Bible simply says, just seek God. Now, we've talked about several things that happen to you as you begin to pursue God. And what you want to do is pursue the Lord out of the desire that God's given you. God's creating a desire. Now, that desire in you, it will always stretch you. It won't let you be. You're not going to get any closer to God doing what you're doing. Because what you're doing is got you to this position. So if you're going to move closer to God, the Lord's desire to be close to Him will drive you to get uncomfortable and do some changes. And then, because right now we're all living on the level that our lifestyle has brought us into. I mean, we have to admit that, every one of us. Every one of us, we're living on the level with God that our lifestyle has brought into our life. So God puts a desire in my heart to be closer to Him. And like I said, it's not just learn another sha-na-na, and it's not just to learn another song. That won't do it. God's going to ask for some real stretching out of your life to seek Him. Because, see, most of us, we've sought Him with part of our heart and part of our soul. And so God's going to use this desire that He's creating in our heart to cause us to desire Him more. Amen? And so we've got to let the Lord do that. All right, the first thing is we get voice and guidance. We've talked about that, how that happens. And then as we seek God, we've talked about the supernatural strength that comes into our life. We've even talked about there's faith that becomes to supernatural faith that begins to come into the life of a person that seeks God. And then as you pursue God, there's a supernatural intervention. And I love this. That's what we just talked about. When you're in a storm and you begin to cry out, there is an intervention that God grants into life. I love this story. I love all the stories of the Bible about God rescuing people, because He's had to rescue me so many times. But especially this one on Hezekiah. The prophet came to him and said this. He said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. That's a pretty stiff word, right? I mean, you understand, these prophets were speaking the voice of God. And it's just like they brought a Bible scripture that said, today you're going to die. You understand? And that's a hard one. And most people, let me tell you what, I believe the reason this is recorded is because most people would think there's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that can be done. God's already signed my tombstone. There's nothing that can happen. There's nothing. See, Hezekiah was sick. Now the man of God has come to him and said, God said, you're going to die. But what we underestimate, Hezekiah was in this one position. In this position, he was going to die. But all of a sudden, there became a sudden desire in him to seek God. You understand? Hey, don't you just hate it when people get to their end, they give up? Don't you just hate that? Don't you just hate people to get to the end and give up? Man, God is not with quitters. And we're never at a place to just give up. But that's what life tries to do. You get at this end of this thing, and this thing, well, this sense of depression and discouragement tries to come on you and just tries to force you to just give up. Well, see, that's where, and what that word said And a lot of times people don't know how to take dreams. They say, well, I had a dream that Joe's going to die, so Joe's going to die. No, the Lord allows in the position that we're in. But see, Hezekiah said, I got to change my position. I can't change God's position, but I can change my position and I can get in a different position where God can help me. He said, because I'm over here in a position that I've been rebelling against God and God hasn't been able to help me. And Hezekiah said, I'm fixing to change my position and I'm fixing to get in a new position where God can help me. I'm going to get out of rebellion. I'm going to get into submission. I'm going to quit living the wrong way. I'm going to begin to respond to God in the right way. I'm going to watch God deliver me. Hezekiah, the Bible says it like this. It said, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Now, that's an unusual way that the Bible talks about seeking God. That's what he said. He said he turned his face. What it meant is he turned his face away from what people were saying. He turned his face away from what circumstances was demanding. He turned his face away from all that and he turned his face toward God. Honey, there may be a doomsday tombstone written over you, but I want you to know that's written to you in your circumstance, in your position. All you've got to do is change the position. If you change the position, the prescription will change for you. Amen. And so Hezekiah had lived a rebellious life toward God. Now all of a sudden, since that doomsday warning came on him, then he's changing and he turned his face toward the wall and he began to seek God. I want you to know, you never ever seek God that God doesn't take notice. God takes notice of everywhere. And notice what happened. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, and Hezekiah wept bitterly. I want you to know, he was repentant. He was sorry that he lived a lousy life. There's a lot of people that want to change, but they're not sorry for their lousy lives. I'm telling you what, I'm sorry for my lousy life. I've lived a lousy life. I mean, lived so far below God's standard in so many ways in my life. And I tell you what, I'm just fed up with living lousy lives. I'm ready to live a better life, aren't you? I'm ready to get myself into a different position with the Lord where God can do something. All right, then in verse 5 it says, this is what the Lord says. Hezekiah got himself in a different position. He turned his face away from what people thought. He turned his face away from what the circumstance was demanding. And he turned his face toward the wall. He turned his face toward God. And when he had his face toward, I don't know how many nights I've done that. I don't know how many nights I've been on my bed and I've been wrestling with the Lord. And I just turned myself over and I would begin to weep and cry before God in that bed. And I would know, just like Hezekiah, God may have not have changed, but I've changed. God has given me the power through repentance. Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of repentance. Now, you understand, God loves us and there's such a power that's associated with that. And he prayed the Lord, saying, and he wept bitterly. And then in verse 5, he says, this is what the Lord says. I have heard your prayer. This is what God said in response. He said, Hezekiah, you've changed your position. He said, I heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. Isn't that a wonderful words? He said, Hezekiah, I saw you. I saw you. I saw you. I saw you turn your face toward the wall. I saw you cry out for my help. And he said, I heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Amen. And then we know what happened from that. The Lord rewarded him and extended 15 years to his life. Isn't God a good God? I mean, God's a good God. Somebody said, God changed. No, God didn't change. Hezekiah changed. See, God's the same yesterday and day and forever. We're always forcing, trying to get God to change. No, God's not the one that's changing. We must change. We get ourselves into it. Somebody said, why won't God help me? Well, I mean, you just asked the question. That's why won't God? That's the question to ask God. Why, God, where am I? What am I not believing? Why am I not trusting? What in my life? What is allowing in my life that's not letting you bless me? Because if God is not blessing us, there's a definite hindrance somewhere and it's never on God's part. Amen. So we just got to get to that place and say, Lord, why are you not blessing me? What is it? A lot of times we know. A lot of times we try to act like we don't know. And then sometimes we don't know. But God is willing to tell us. God is willing to open up and help us, to let us know. And I'll tell you what, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist. All that Hezekiah had to do is to be repentant. All he had to do was turn his face toward the wall and say, God, I'm sorry. I was angry. I did it wrong. I was living the wrong kind of way. I was doing my own thing. I wanted to do it my way. You know, I wanted a song and all of it with it. But Lord, now I'm turning towards you. And I'm changing. God said, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Then we talked about the power of God brings inner joy. And then there's such an inner joy that comes with that. And then number six, we have a supernatural protection in our life. We talked about that. And then God offers us this hiding place. That comes in the process of seeking God. When you turn your heart and your mind, you focus your mind. And if you're going to seek God, you've got to make a strategic positional change of your mind. Because usually it's a storm that's got our attention. Usually we're just not responding to the God's desire. It would be wonderful if we would. That would solve the storm problem. But usually it's the storms. But we have to make a focus. Say, God, I know I've got to turn my face toward the wall. I've got to focus on you. And Lord, help me. And you have to set your mind. You have to set your mind and you have to set your affections. That's how you see God. Setting your affection and setting your mind. You set it on God's word. You set it on prayer. You set it on God. It's you determining, I'm going to move my life in a direction. I'm going to forget about these other things, especially for a while. And I'm going to get a straight and narrow path that I'm going to set my mind, set my affections on. So the Lord offers us that wonderful secret place. And if you would chance, go to that verse 7, verse 32. I love this scripture. It says, you are my safe and secret place. I want God to know that, don't you? Lord, you are my safe and secret place. Then the next thing that happens as we begin to seek God is that supernatural provision. Supernatural provision happens in people's lives. Now, I wish that we just had the time, some services, and we need to do that. We need to have testimonial services. It's really important. I love to hear the miraculous moves that God does, especially with young believers. I mean, God just throws everything out and for a young believer. And God just would do such supernatural things. I remember as a young believer, supernatural provision. I was doing everything I knew as a young believer to seek God. I quit my job. I got thrown out of my house. I left the state. I did everything I could to get rid of my past. And in the process of it, then I was moving toward the Lord. But I remember such supernatural. I remember one morning waking up as India was a baby. There she grown up, lady now. And we were in a car and we'd spent the night in the roadside park there because we didn't have money. We didn't have a place to stay. Didn't have anything. But God, but I tell you what, Lane, I was so happy just to have God. We were just so happy to have God. I mean, I tell you what, I don't know how some people get a little doubt. Man, I tell you, God dumped a full load on my life that just radically changed me and my feelings and everything that I had. Woke up in that roadside park, and I remember praying the prayer. And I said, Lord, we need you to provide for us today. And there in that little simple prayer, and I wasn't taught faith. I'd just only been saved a few weeks, and my life was just so an opposite way of what it had ever been before. And I remember we changed India's diaper that day, and it was a $20 bill in her diaper. Well, and it was just regular baby food. It did. And But then it just went on and it went on from there. And then I didn't mean to embarrass you, darling, but that goes with the territory. And then rode down the road from there. And I said, Lord, we don't need money. I mean, it was just everything. We didn't have anything. And I said, Lord, we need money. We prayed that prayer and we drove down to a four-way stop. Laying in the middle of that four-way stop was $40 waiting on me. Two $20 bills. You don't call that miraculous? Right after that, we was praying and said, Lord, we don't have food. We for weeks and weeks, we ate. There was two things that was cheap in Texas where we lived, bread and jelly. So we ate bread and jelly morning, noon, and night. Every meal, bread and jelly. I don't know why those two items were so cheap then, but they were. But I remember we prayed and we said, oh, Lord, we just need something besides bread and jelly. It's kind of like complaining over manna, I guess, you know. And I remember coming home and no one knew. We lived in a town, didn't know anyone. And really, I talked these people in letting us have this little apartment, trusting us. And really, it was grown up. I mean, it was so grown up, it wasn't even detectable as a house anymore. And we got there and just cut down everything we can just to try to get a place to get in there to the little shack it was. And we came home, and there was these huge sacks of groceries just sitting there on the front door. And Lane and I knew that God was miraculous and he would always take care of us. And I went to college there because I wanted to learn something about the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. And so that's why I left. I wanted to go to some Bible school. I wanted to gain some Bible school. I didn't have any money. I remember the day I walked into the Bible school. They said, you want to enroll here? And I said, yes, I want to enroll here. I said, God sent me. And they said, well, how much money do you have for your entrance? I said, you don't understand. God sent me. And I repeated that to them I don't know how many times until they finally let me enroll. I kept saying those words. I said, God sent me. I said, you don't understand. God sent me. God told me to come. God sent me. It's the first time I ever heard God. And I was determined that it was God's voice. And I told them that so many times where they let me enroll. And then it came down. It really did come down then to a bad deal. They said, we'll enroll you on credit. So they did. And then it came down to the day I had to pay. And I remember I was so embarrassed. I said, God, I came here because I thought you told me to come. And you know I haven't wasted anything you've tried to give me. We've eaten everything that you've gave us. And there's not been one time that we have tried to do what we wanted to do. I said, I'm going to walk in there in front of all those people today, God. And I'm getting that line. And I'm going to walk up there because I told them you sent me. And when I get to that line, God, they're going to ask me for the money. If I can't pull the money out, God, they're going to know that you didn't tell me. So I got in that line. That place was so packed that day with people paying things. People paying all kinds of money. Came my turn. I walked up to the desk, still trusting God. I said, God, I'm here. He said, what's your name? I said, Jerry Ables. They said, let me pull your account. They had file cabinets. They didn't have computers. They went back to the file cabinet. They come back and they said, paid in full, Jerry Ables. Paid in full. I walked out differently than I walked in. I got a snuggie in before when I walked out on. Everybody know, man, God ordered me, man. I did it. God sent me. I told you God sent me. You know. So, God has the miracles. Miracle provision for people that will seek God. We'll talk about other things later that God does as we seek Him. There's so many supernatural things that God has. And I'll be honest with you now. I don't have to pay over my check that I drive to Sonic. And if I want a hamburger, I go buy a hamburger. If I want a Coke, I go buy a Coke. But when I think of in my mind, the closest thing to heaven on earth that I've ever experienced, it was those moments. It was those moments. It was those moments when if God didn't move, you would sink. And you were standing out there on nothing, trusting God. Lord, we thank You for Your glory. And we thank You for the power that comes, Lord, through seeking You, Lord. And I want to thank You, Lord, for Your precious glory, for Your precious power, for Your precious help. Lord, the intermingling that goes on when we seek You, Lord, is beyond words. It becomes part of us. It gets ingrained in us. It becomes a mixture of flesh and spirit and emotions and feelings and mind and thinking. It just all meshes together, Lord, as we seek You. And we find a God that loves us so. If you're in need of a miracle of some kind, why don't we just close by, let's just make this a father-son or a father-daughter time close. If you're in a need of a miracle of some kind, would you just simply stand in the presence of your dad? If you're in a need of a miracle of some kind, just stand in the presence of your dad. I want to tell you what, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Just take a moment and settle it in your heart that you can trust Him. Just settle it in your heart. Just settle it in your heart. Oh, my son, the Lord says, and oh, my daughter, don't you know that I'm going to bring you through? Why are you worrying, says the Lord? Why do you fret yourself? Why do you allow the anxiety to weigh your life down? Oh, live life as you know. I love you. I'm with you. I'll see you through. I'll walk right through that line with you, saith the Lord. I'll help you. I'll undergird you. And when those are falling like flies around you, I will still be the wind under your wings, saith the Lord. I will hold you up. I will take care of you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to the conclusion of tonight. Lord, thank You. I've enjoyed being with my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. It's been enjoyed Your presence and Your joy. I just love You, Jesus. I love being with Your kids. I love being Your son. I love You. In Jesus' name, amen.